Asma Khan has a completely different understanding of Islam, and especially what it teaches about women. She's an international human rights lawyer and the editor of a new magazine called Muslim Girl. Anne Strainchamps wanted to know the story behind the magazine.
Do you have a mental picture in your mind of the average Muslim girl reader?
Yes, I do.
What's she like?
Well, for one thing, she doesn't fit into a stereotypical mold. She could really be anything. She could be a girl who's really covered with a headscarf. She could be a very funky, young, modern girl. You know, a lot of people, when they see a girl in a headscarf, might immediately have the reaction that, oh, she's very foreign, she's very different, she's very alien, and she might even be oppressed or subjugated or submissive in some way. But in America, girls who choose to wear a headscarf are usually pretty outspoken and opinionated and proud of their identity as Muslims and willing
really?
To answer
so it's,
any questions.
In some ways, those are the most assertive Muslim girls, the ones who've chosen to wear a headscarf?
Yes, in many ways that's true. In fact, a lot of the feature stories that we've done on girls throughout our previous issues have focused on these unusual, what's called hijab-wearing girls. And one of the things that we're saying with the magazine is that people have a lot of misconceptions about Muslims, and they seem to think of Muslims always in the context of foreign news events. And what we wanted to do with the cover of our premiere issue was to sort of indigenize Islam in America and say that, you know, Muslims are your friends and your neighbors and your community members, and they're growing up absorbing mainstream popular culture and mainstream media, and they're just like you, and they have many of the same interests, many things in common with other girls across America.
So that's why you've got so many stories about girls who are, you know, they're playing ice hockey, or girls who ski, or Muslim girls who are on basketball teams.
That's right. We want to defy what people's expectations of Muslim girls might be.
When you did test marketing for the magazine and you were talking with a lot of Muslim girls about what they would like to see in a magazine, what kind of stories did they tell you they wanted to read?
The two top things that we heard from Muslim girls were that they want to see a lot of fashion that they could wear. And they wanted to see a lot of information about relationships. They had a lot of questions about religion. They had a lot of questions about dating and boys and getting along with their parents and fitting into mainstream society.
So, for instance, fashion. What kinds of stories have you run?
Well, from our second issue on, we've tried to find really creative, energetic looks for Muslim girls in North America that respond to the difficulty they have in finding clothes that are covering and modest, but really trendy and chic and up to the minute. Because a lot of Muslim girls basically dress like other American teenagers, except, you know, they'll be a little more conservative. They won't have low necklines, they won't show the bare midriff, and they won't wear short skirts. And yet, at the same time, they want to look like their peers and they want to shop at great stores and find great looks. So what we do is our creative director, Elena Kovirzhina, she's also our fashion director, and she studies the trends on the runways and sees what can we adapt from those trends that would really fit for Muslim girls and create really exciting looks that they'd like to wear and that they would recognize as, yeah, that's cool, but that's also Islamic.
You know, I think a lot of Americans don't realize just how challenging it is, you know, to say be a Muslim girl or woman and to dress in a way that looks fashionable and yet also, you know, fits your Muslim faith. For instance, I was fascinated by one article you ran on a Muslim girl who's at the University of Chicago, and she's a really serious soccer player. And she talked about she always wears, I guess, spandex under her soccer uniform. But she wound up having to get sort of documentation from her mosque to take to the practices and to the games because otherwise the referees wouldn't let her on the court.
That's right. You're talking about Sana Jaffrey, who we featured in our premiere issue. And she's a great girl, a very devoted athlete. And she's so committed both to athletics but also to her faith that she found a realistic compromise. But I don't know if you've heard about this headscarf debate up in Canada for the girl who played, 11-year-old Muslim girl who played soccer and was evicted from her tournament for wearing a headscarf. Or there were five Muslim girls in a Taekwondo tournament who were evicted from or not allowed to participate because they wore a headscarf. So these are the kinds of challenges that they're facing. And I think that people of understanding and goodwill can work out compromises. Muslim girls certainly are willing to. It's just a question of the communities around us.
Is there anything you don't write about? Anything you have to be careful not to cover or to cover in a very careful way?
We're careful generally because we were a new venture. But with I think with every issue, we're getting bolder and bolder because we're having so much support from the community. We don't cover politics and we're not explicitly religious because the magazine is for and about Muslim girls.
But don't you also have a section every month called Quran Notes?
We do, and that's probably as close as we get to being explicitly religious. And the reason that we have that column and another one like it called Values for Life, is to respond to a lot of questions we get from young girls who are confused about certain aspects of the Islamic faith.
What kinds of things are they confused about?
Well, a girl might want to know, is it okay to date? Is it okay if my best friend dates? Is it okay if I cheated on a test for a good reason to help a friend out? Is it okay if I disobey my parents' version of Islam to practice the version of Islam that I think is right? You know, questions like that. A lot of questions about relationships.
How do you answer these? I mean, what about the dating question, for instance?
Well, luckily, I don't have to answer those questions personally, but we have a columnist by the name of Grace Song, who's a student of Islamic studies and very knowledgeable. So she never provides what I call an authoritative or definitive answer, but she explores what scripture and traditions have to say on the topic. And her usual line of advice to girls is that, you know, you have to seek knowledge on these questions. So don't simply be guided by others and take the word of others, but seek knowledge for yourself and then be true to your own conscience.
But what sorts of challenges do Muslim girls face when it comes to dating? Can they date as freely as most other American girls, or are there many more restrictions on their dating behavior?
Yeah, there's absolutely many more restrictions. It's not common for Muslim girls to date. And Islamically, Muslim girls basically are told by their parents and by their imams in the mosque and so on that Muslims, both male and female, only enter into relationships for the purpose of marriage. So if a young woman has reached the stage where she's thinking about getting married, then families reach their own compromises about how to set that up, how two people will get to know each other. But generally, dating when you're a teenager is not the same as it is for other American teenagers.
Hmm. How do the girls that you've met through working on the magazine, how do they deal with that?
Well, it's a challenge for them. And, you know, there's a tremendous diversity of opinion and practice in Muslim communities. There are girls who, you know, very much behave the same way as any other American teenager, and they do date and do consider themselves more secular. There are girls who hang out with groups of friends, male and female, and their parents know about it and they're fine with it. And then there's girls who, you know, do not date at all, would never even consider it because their religious values are so strongly entrenched. So there's a variety of options. But I think a lot of the questions that our girls have is even, is it okay to be friends with a guy? And, you know, my parents are freaking out, so what should I do about it? So what we're trying to discuss in the magazine is creative ways to communicate and coming to terms with these issues and being upfront about them and getting parents to talk to their kids about them.
Asma Khan is an international human rights lawyer and editor of the magazine Muslim Girl. She spoke with Anne Strange Champs.